This summer, our weekly sermons have focused on the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Last week, Paul Hudson, who was up here with his family and with Tim, he is the director of Youth Ministries and Modern Music, and he spoke quite eloquently, I might say, on the subject of the Holy Spirit, the historical truth about the Tower of Babel, and how he sees this event tied in to the events of the first Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit literally fell upon about 120 followers of Christ, including the disciples. Today, I want to address the presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer as an active participant in comforting us, helping us to have a deeper understanding of our personal struggles, pain, and life challenges, and to be present to help each of us gain wisdom so we can learn how to comfort and encourage others as well. To do so, we need to take a look at our scripture reading for today. And for those that like to follow along, this is from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 7. And I am reading from the New International Version, or as many times it will say, NIV. This book written by the Apostle Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you illuminate our hearts and our minds, that we hear what you have for us to hear today, whether we are halfway around the world or seated in a pew here in Kirkland, Washington at Rose Hill Church, whether we are watching outside from our home or from a library or from somewhere else. Speak to our hearts from your word, your truth for our lives. Amen. One of the first things that we may notice in reading this passage is the repetitive nature of the message here. The Apostle Paul uses comfort or compassion. I wonder if anyone counted how many times. 10 is the answer, at least in my Bible. Now, when we see this redundancy in Scripture, it behooves us to sit up and take note, because the writer, in this case, the Apostle Paul, is saying, hey, this is really important. When someone talks to you and in the course of the talking to you says 10 times something, usually that's something really important to that person. And that is the case. And now, to add clarity to this passage, I want to go briefly to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Now, Jesus didn't write the book of John, but these are the words that are attributed to him from the writer of the book of John. And he is saying, as he prepares them not only for his impending arrest and trial and execution, but for how he will take care of them after he rises from the dead and ascends to heaven. In the Amplified Version, which adds some different variations of the words to help us more broadly understand a word or a verse, it says, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus, "and he will give you another helper." And then here's where the Amplified Version adds, "Comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you." Jesus is actually, in a sense, prophesying forward to what is going to happen. He goes on, Jesus, in verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless," is adding those words. "I will come back to you." I want you to note something here. The words that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians, which we just read earlier, when he talks about the God of all comfort, it is the same wording in the ancient Greek that the writer of John's gospel has Jesus use when Jesus tells the disciples he will give them a helper, a comforter, an advocate. In other words, in both passages, the person being referred to is one and the same. The Greek word is parakaleo, or paraclete. In verse 17, the word used by Jesus is the Spirit of truth. This paraclete, this one to come alongside, is the Holy Spirit. So what we see from both John's gospel and the apostle's second letter to the Corinthians is the same message. As a believer, you are given the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus. They all work in tandem to do Jesus' work in the believer, to indwell the believer, to affirm the believer, to comfort and guide the believer, to be with the believer, and to help equip that believer for service. But we might ask, how does this work? Jesus left, sent his Spirit to us. As we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, accepting Christ as our Savior, we then have, forever after, the Holy Spirit resident in us. But is that all that Paul, not my colleague Paul, but the Apostle Paul, is talking about here? I don't think so. And I think this is part of the problem with modern Western Christianity. I think we have been, in a sense, shortchanged. Many have come to tell us about salvation. Many have said we are all sinners and we need a Savior. Folks, I agree with that. I agree 110%. Amen. But then many of us don't realize how vital it is that we focus on what I call the in-between time. What is supposed to be happening here on earth for the person who at some point made a pronouncement of faith in Jesus Christ, but has not gone on to heaven. What are we supposed to be doing and being? Presbyterians, by and large, hold that when Christian parents bring their children, often as infants or toddlers, forward to be baptized, that is the thing. The child is given to God and brought up in a Christian home. The hope and prayer is that this child will one day make their own profession of faith in Christ. I agree with that. That's scriptural. But in the meantime, the family is to live out their faith in Christ on earth to model Christian living for their family and for others. And many would believe, whether they say it out loud or not, but they might be thinking, I'm safe now. I'm in now. God is going to bless me. I will live according to basic rules of Christianity and try to do my very best. And God will do his part and keep the bad stuff away, right? But as I have titled my message today, The Problem of Pain, what happens if the child goes sideways? What if the cozy marriage falls apart? The next child is born with a debilitating illness or condition. What if the husband or wife is unfaithful? And on and on. Wait a minute, you say. Doesn't the list of good stuff in Christianity include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? The fruit of the Spirit? And then you add, there's no fruit of pain listed here. No cancer, no early onset dementia, no bankruptcy. Where did all those things come from and why? Why me, God? Are you mad at me? Are you even real? Or perhaps you just say, no thanks, God. If this is how you treat your friends, I'm out of here. Stop a minute. Earlier we noted, how many times did Paul mention comfort, compassion, and their derivatives? 10 times. In 9 lines. Kind of guess it depends on which Bible you're reading, but in my Bible it was 9 lines. 10 times. How many times did Paul talk about those other things? You know, the ones that are not on the happy list. Well, he mentions sufferings. Did you hear me? Sufferings, plural. Troubles, S on the end, plural. Distressed, suffer. He mentions those 7 times, but again, much of them in the plural. I want to take a sideways glance for a moment. I hope you're following me so far, but I want to make a point and tell you, when we are talking about comforting and helping others and for the Holy Spirit to be resident in us, it is a real thing. It is not simply an esoteric thought. And yes, we have wonderful things that happen in the life of believers, and we have struggles, and we have pain, and we have turmoil. An example of that turmoil in my own life is the sideways glance that I want to take. As a young Christian in college, young in the Lord, full of hopes and dreams and enthusiasms for my relatively new faith in Jesus Christ, early in my senior year, I hit the wall, so to speak. I had just returned from some of the toughest times in my life. Summer had found me leading a team of 4 college students to West Africa, only to very quickly find ourselves entangled in the middle of a massive violent coup and subsequent civil war. This included not enough to eat for us. It included horrible malaria and dysentery and things like that for us. Very, very sick, hard, difficult time. When I returned for my senior year, I developed a deep depression. I don't really know why, but it is a challenge that I have faced. Folks, I could not feel God in this time. I could not see God doing anything in my faith. I sought counseling, prayer to excise whatever was wrong with me, believing that somehow I had done something to affront God. I decided to resign my position in the chaplain's office and quit school and go home and throw in the towel. But in going to my boss, the university chaplain, Bob Stamps, he put the brakes on this whole process. He shared honestly with me that he too had suffered greatly from a severe bout with depression. He knew what I was feeling, and he became tangible Jesus to me. He came alongside and he helped me that year, and yes, it took better part of a year to eventually walk out of that dark and excruciatingly painful valley and into the light again. And so here is the perspective I want you to consider in this discussion. In this passage we've been looking at, Paul is bringing in both comfort, the blessings of God, who through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, as well as the blessings of God, hear me, the blessings of God that come through suffering, pain, and discomfort too. Anybody out there hear what I just said? We often in this culture think that we're blessed if we have the best job or the bigger car or the house or whatever it is. I am telling you something that is diametrically opposed to that. And this is deep, folks. And if you begin to get it, and some of you I know what I'm talking about. But it's taken me a long time to begin to realize that this is key here. The same Holy Spirit is with the believer in all of these situations. Not only with us, but in us. And not only in us, but capable of communicating with us and through us, so that we learn from our struggles and we in turn are able to help our brothers and our sisters in the very same way that the Holy Spirit has helped us. Changed us, matured us, grown us up, and comforted us with a comfort. Folks, it is deeper. The Holy Spirit resident in you is deeper than your very DNA. No, I'm not a scientist, and nobody told me that, but I believe it. Because the Holy Spirit permeates us and is resident in us and is active in us and in our lives. This, folks, is what is going on for each and every believer. Peter said, we should not be alarmed at the fiery ordeal coming upon us. He wrote that in his first epistle. You see, God is preparing a people to be his people forever. What we are living in and through, COVID-19, declining health, ill parents, ill children, lost jobs, and on. These are what the Bible calls momentary light afflictions. Talks about that in 2 Corinthians 2. I believe that God is not only seemingly positive, encouraging things, using them in our lives, but also every single painful, hurtful, confusing, discouraging, damaging, and demoralizing experience in our lives. And he's doing so to bring us closer to him via the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is resident in you as a believer, you have the opportunity to gain insight and knowledge, understanding, wisdom, clarity for not only yourself in your situations of your life, but for the sake of your sisters and brothers in Christ. Literally every single day, every single challenge, every single opportunity is an open door for growth and maturity and transformation in God. And that Holy Spirit knows you to the very deepest core of your being. And you know what? That Holy Spirit, who is part of the triune God, loves and adores you in ways that none of us really can fathom. But it's true. So what do we do with this understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in us? How do we, in essence, take advantage of the incredible opportunity to be transformed in Christ? To me, this is where several things come into play. First, Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." It also says in the word, today is the day of salvation, the day to turn toward instead of away, toward the Lord Jesus Christ and not away. If you have never asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life, never told Jesus that you accept him for what he did for you, that he died for you, and rose again for you, today is the best day I know for you to do this. Second, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7-8. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and you will receive. Folks, these are active actions. They're not a one-off. He is saying, keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep going. Third, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resident in you wants to commune with you, to talk with you, and wants to tell you God's richest truths. Spend time with him, not out of obligation, but ask him to give you a deep desire to know him, to allow him to transform you into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Open your Bible. You don't have one and you need one, contact Rose Hill Church. You can go to rosehill.org and we'll get you a Bible. Anyway, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you from his word, to open your eyes to his eternal truths of love, and give you all that the Godhead desires to be in your life. Finally, in this time of COVID-19, isolation, and social distancing, I heartily suggest you reach out for support and answers to your questions of faith. No matter how we come to you, via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live, we care and we want to help support you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Feel free to call our office at the Rose Hill Church in Kirkland, Washington, or go to our website, again, rosehill.org. Ask for one of our pastoral staff to contact you. we can help you get connected with our church or even another church, because we know that people from all over the world watch our services. We're not about building the kingdom here. We're about building His kingdom. And finally, remember that you are loved. You are worth it, and you matter. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we scoop up everything we've talked about today. Every word, every scripture we lay in your lap, every challenge that we face, we cast our cares on you. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit touch and move and bless and encourage and strengthen all those that would hear my voice. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.